I want to thank Brother Ron for the wonderful musical program that we've had this week. It's been just such a tremendous blessing every night to have the choir singing and all the special numbers and these two ladies tearing the piano up. Been a blessing. It really has. We've enjoyed your company, your fellowship, and talk with you folk at the close of meeting. And so we want to thank you for your kindness to us. Take your Bible now, please, and go to Romans chapter 14, if you will. Romans 14. We are bringing a message tonight on the return of our Savior. Now, so often, we take a lot of things for granted that everybody understands what we're talking about when we talk about the return of the Lord. And we shouldn't do that, because there could be someone here who just does not know, has no idea what we're talking about when we talk about the Lord's return. So look at me, and I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that, okay? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in a small town called Bethlehem. He lived on this earth to the age of 33. And then he died for the sins of the entire world on the cross. His body was taken off the cross, placed in the tomb. The tomb was sealed for 3 days and three nights. Then Jesus Christ arose from the grave, stayed on this earth for 40 days, showed his body to over 500 men, and then bodily ascended up in the heaven. And one day the Word of God says he will return. We call that the rapture. And my friend, one day he will return. And I want to show you what happens whenever our Lord returns, and then what happens with those people who will not receive God's salvation. They will not come to Christ. It's a very crucial message, it really is. Would you look at Romans 14, verse 12? So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Oh, dear Father, tonight, we need your help. Help us to make known the Word of God. Help us to preach under the power of your Spirit to help your people and to bring the unsaved to Christ. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Throughout the Bible, there's a constant echo. And that echo is that one day Jesus Christ will return. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." James 5:8 says, "Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So one day the Bible says he will return. But when will Christ return? We don't know. No man knows. However, the Word of God tells you exactly how this event will happen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 17, the Word of God says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us which are alive shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." That means if our Lord came, those who know Christ as their Savior, those who've died in Christ, first of all, would meet the Lord in the air. Then those of us who are saved, we would also be called up and meet them in the air. However, all of those who have rejected Christ, they will remain behind on this earth. And I want to show you from the Bible what happens when the Lord takes his people up to meet him, and then what happens with those who are remaining behind upon this earth. And so, first of all, I want to zero in only on God's people. When we meet the Lord in the air, we will then stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 14, verse 12. The first thing I want to show you about this event is the singleness of this occasion. The Bible says, so then, every one of us. Now stop right there and look at me. Are you aware that one day you will stand as an individual before your Lord? Now we've got the idea, when we stand before the Lord, that there's 10 million people in front of us, we are 10 miles back, and you're pushing heads aside to try and get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where'd you get that from? That's not Bible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look, child of God, we will stand there one day as an individual before our wonderful Lord. But second of all, let me show you the soberness of this event. Look back at verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself. Stop right there and look here, please. One day, child of God, you will give account of how you have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when God saved you, He gave you a foundation for your life. What is that foundation? 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When Christ saves you, He is the foundation of your life. And then the Word of God says there's one or two ways you can live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Automatically, you see two kinds of materials. What is the wood, the hay, and the stubble referring to? It's referring to a child of God that when he does work for the Lord, he does it for showmanship. He wants man's applause. He wants man's recognition. That's wood, that's hay, and that is stubble. What is the gold, the silver, the precious stone? That's the individual who serves the Lord and labors for Him out of a heart of love, affection, devotion, and loyalty to the Word of God. If no one ever recognizes him, that's okay with him. Why? He's living his life as a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you now need to realize how crucial that is. Many years ago, I had meetings in South Carolina, down in Ellery, South Carolina, with a man and his wife who were missionaries in Africa for a number of years. They had three beautiful girls. Two of the little girls contracted malaria, and they both died. And then finally, John and Elizabeth, their health broke, and they had to come back with their one remaining daughter. He was now pastoring this church in South Carolina. And one day, I was in their home, and I had a question burning in my heart, and so Esther was right here. I'm right here. John and Elizabeth were in front of me. And my question was this. I said, Elizabeth, I've got to ask you this. How could you stay in Africa after you know your two little girls had contracted malaria and they died and you buried them there? And you well know that Esther right here, she could have contracted a malaria and she could have died as well. I said, Elizabeth, what kept you in Africa? As long as I live, I'll never forget what she did. A smile broke across her face. Her eyes widened. And these are the exact words she said. Jerry, the love of Christ constrained me. I'll never forget that. Why am I serving my Lord? Huh? Why am I going around America? Am I trying to build a name? Do I want man's applause? Human recognition? Better not be. I've got to live my life in light of eternity. I've got to labor for Him. And so don't you. You've got one chance for God to use your life. John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Because one day, congregation, we will give account, and that other sober our heart. But then third of all, look back in verse 12. Look at the sovereignty of the person that we will meet. So then every one of us shall give account of himself. Get this, to God. Now look at me. I want to straighten something out tonight that bothers me. There's some men preaching that when I meet my Heavenly Father, I'm going to meet an angry, frowning Heavenly Father who's been upset with the way that I have lived for Him. And that is not Bible. Let me illustrate this to you. When I went to college, I'll never forget this, I was scared half to death. And so I came home for the first Christmas at the Christmas break. And while I'm going home, I'm so excited. And when we're going to go down the road to my house, I was in the car. I was screaming, you know, I was blowing the horn. And then I jumped out of the car. And when I jumped out of the car, I looked up. And there's my dad. Dad, his hand like this was outstretched, walking to the car. Smile. Oh, a vivacious smile. And here's what he did. He came walking with a hand. And he said, Jerry, so good to see you, son. So good to have you back home. I said, Dad, it's so good to see you, Dad. Every time I went home, no exceptions, every time I went home, I get out of the car, I look up, every time, there's my dad, smile across his face, hand outstretched. Hey, Jerry, so good to see you, son. So good to have you home. I never, never went home, had a father standing, arms crossed, frowning, saying, well, boy, by the time you got home, what is your problem? No, it was always that vivacious smile, that outstretched hand, and that kind voice, so good to have you home. Child of God, it's going to be a joyous occasion when we see our Heavenly Father. How do I know? The Bible says so. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you seem not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Revelation 22:4, the Word of God says, and they shall see His face. Congregation, it'll be a joyous occasion when you see your kind, loving, gracious, Heavenly Father. And child of God, if there's regrets, our regret would be, why didn't I do more for my Lord? Why did not I give more of myself unto Him and serving Him? However, what about those who don't know the Lord and are left behind on this earth, because there will be a great separation. When God takes His people up, all of the rest of the world will remain behind. And I want to tell you something. The Bible speaks of this coming hour of God's judgment. Listen, please. Isaiah 24:1, the Lord maketh the earth empty. Isaiah 26:21, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Zephaniah 1:18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Job 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. And so God's going to bring his judgment upon this earth for 7 literal years. And the one verse that really shows the entire panoramic judgment of God is Revelation 8:13. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because they will face God's judgment. Then there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Then there will be the last rebellion, and then all of mankind who's rejected Christ will stand at another judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Let me tell you something, my friend. If you're unsaved, this may shock you, but it's Bible. Look at me. God has a book on every person's life. And God has a book on you. Well, I don't go to church. That's beside the point. God has a book on your life. And God knows you so well. He could pick any person out on the face of the earth and past generations, and God could show anyone every word they've ever spoken, every thought they've ever thought, every step they've ever taken, every deed they've ever done. You mean God knows me? Oh, yes. Listen to the Bible. Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men." He knows your secrets. Matthew 10:30, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." He knows the smallest thing about you. Psalm 147, verse 4, "He telleth the number of the stars." He called them all by their names. Did you know in our galaxy there are billions and billions of stars, and God has a name for every star? But the shocking thing is there are billions of other galaxies out there, and each one of those billions of galaxies, there are billions of stars within them, and God has a name for every star. What a God he is. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened." Notice, books were opened. That's the record of your life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to," get this, "their works." I could just imagine this scene. I've always had a wide imagination since I've been a small boy. And I'm going to tell you something. I can kind of visualize in my mind what I see right now. Here's a man had no time for the Lord, had no time for God's house. He mocked, he ridiculed Christianity. And now he stands before holy God. And the book of his life is opened, and the life is read. And the man stands there, and the man cries out and says, "Oh God, oh God, I did not know that you knew me." But it's too late. Or else a man stands there, and as his life and all that he's done is revealed, the man stands there and he says, oh God, I plead insanity." You can't do that to God, you hear me? You can't do it to him. You stand there, a doomed individual. No one saved who stands at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, I'm going to tell you something. You, as an individual, if you're unsaved, you have a major decision to make. What is it? Would you all turn to John chapter 3, please? John chapter 3, and would you look at verse 36? When I stop reading, would you read the next two words out good and loud? Okay, that's all, just two words. And then when I stop the second time, I want you to read the rest of the verse out loud for me, okay? John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 36. Now, please when I stop and I ask you the next two words, do read them out good and loud, okay? Here it is, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? All right, look here. When I came to Jesus Christ as a young man, 17 years of age, what did Christ do to me? I believed on Him. I accepted Christ as my Savior. He gave me everlasting life. Whenever you, sir, come to Christ who died for your sins, who arose from the grave to give you everlasting life, you've got to believe on Him. And when you do, He'll give you everlasting life. However, let's say that you don't want that. You say, well, I reject Christ. I want nothing to do with Him. Okay, that is your decision. No one can force you. God gave you a will to receive or reject. So let's say you reject it. Okay, when I stop reading, then y'all read the rest out good and loud. Look back at it, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? My friend, you say the wrath of God abideth on him. Why? Because you rejected God's gifts. You rejected what God wants to give you, His Son. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to come to Him, and you reject Him. And therefore, when anyone rejects Christ, they automatically will face the wrath of God. Tonight, I would pray you would come to Him if you don't know Him, and let Christ become your Savior. So one day, when He does return, you will be called up and meet Him in the air and never, never face the wrath of God. Child of God, you are saved. I trust God has stirred your life of your service for Him. I'm impressed with you young people. I'll be speaking to them tomorrow night. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got some wonderful teens in this church. May I say a word to you teenagers? You've got one life for God to use, young lady and young man. And I would pray that you would, if God's speaking to your life and you're pondering the area, you may not know how God's going to use you, but you'd love to give your life for God's service. I pray tonight you would do that and make your life count in light of the judgment seat of Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. While their heads bowed and their eyes are closed, maybe you are here tonight and you say, Jerry, I have never realized that God has a book on my life. I don't know if Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I realize tonight that Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for my sins and rose from the grave, I need to come to Him. I need to believe on Him and have everlasting life. I really do. Well, they're going to play a song of Have Thine Own Way. And while they're playing the song, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, you say, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to know how I can come to Christ. Well, how can I voice that to God? Well, in a moment, you can step out where you are and come to pastor. And say, Pastor, I want to know how Jesus Christ can save me, how I can have everlasting life and never face the wrath of God. I pray you do so. And then Christians tonight, you've got to realize how crucial it is how you build upon the foundation of Christ. And young person, if you want to give God your life this evening for His service, you may not know how the Lord will use you. That's not the issue. It's you putting yourself in the way so God can guide you and use you most effectively. I pray you will respond. You'll come, and you, Christian, will come and kneel this altar and voice to God your need. Our dear Father, we ask again for the divine leading of your Holy Spirit in this invitation. Save one individual who needs Christ. Take away fear from their heart. Help the people of God respond to you. Help some young person, Lord, to yield and surrender their life to thee tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Brother Rob, what page is that? 366. 366. Would you all find 366? And then in the moment, as we stand, if you want to step out where you are and come down the aisle and let Christ save you, you come to Pastor Todd. And as a child of God, if you want to come at this altar and kneel and voice to God, I'll give you time to do so. If you'd like to give God your life for His service, I encourage you, young person, step out and make that known to your pastor, okay? Let's sing it.